There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Grant and Danny on the Fan on a victory Monday. It is a Hall and Oates triumphant afternoon. The Commanders are 4-1. Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore this Sunday, standing between Washington and its first 5-1 record since 1996. Congratulations to caller number 10. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Capitals take on the Dallas Stars October 17th. That's a Thursday night game, Capital One Arena. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. We'll be giving away tickets to a big week one Caps game all week long right here on The Fan. But it is time for our Blitz. Today, we're going to be covering the Commanders. We start things off discussing the Commanders with Chick Hernandez, who was sitting not far from me yesterday as he put his eyes on 34 points worth of offense and another Washington win. Of course, you can watch him on WSA TV9 in town. Chick, what is happening?
I want to talk Panthers. Can I talk Panthers?
You can do that.
No,
sure.
Panthers.
Go for it.
No, thank you. I want to keep my lunch down. What is happening? Well, as you well know, it's just a we're at a fever pitch now. All the different numbers, all the history making that's going on with this franchise is quite exciting to see. And I told somebody earlier today that after decades of darkness and covering this squad, you know, I don't get giddy, but I notice that in the press box, noises are made when number five makes a play from the media. We're normally a reticent kind of group, but when he makes a throw or makes a move, there's an audible ooh in that press box, and that's just different, and it's fun.
As well said, yeah, there's a soundtrack to watching him almost at this point. So my first time ever going to games and sitting in the box and being down on the field was 1999, and I met you that year. You were already in town.
Yes.
You were at Fox 5, I believe. What year did you actually start in D.C.? The reason I ask is because you got to go back to 1996, Chick, to find the last time they were 5-1 if they can beat Baltimore.
Yeah, so I made two stops. One, I started in radio in 1987 for a little while, and then I came back to TV in 1994 to Fox 5. That's my first time on TV, truly.
So young Chick Hernandez saw them go 5-1 and thought, this will be what they do all the time.
This is normal.
This is going to be great. And then kerput, kaboom, kapow, nothing. Absolute nothing. And what made it worse was just they just weren't that bad on the field. They were also bad in the front office and in the building. And you just wanted to just, every day you went to work, you just looked at each other and went, okay, here we go. And this is, as you well know now, it's a far different atmosphere and vibe in this building. I'm here today. I'm getting ready to sit down for my Monday chat with the DQ, and it's just a different vibe. Absolutely, completely different. 180 turn. Their adults are running the building.
Chick, the thing that I've been most amazed by, that's not true, most amazed, but on the podium of amazing things, it's been Jane Daniels every week, right? And Terry McLaurin, pretty consistent, had 112 yards yesterday. But other than that, sure, it's been a different dude, it seems like. Without Austin Eckler, ho-hum, it's a Jeremy McNichols show. Last week, it was Alonis Zacchaeus. You know, this week, it's Jalmy Brown with a couple of big plays. That, to me, is remarkable, right? Usually, most weeks you tune in, it's the stars doing the star things for, you know, these teams that are really good, and occasionally you get like a smaller contribution. But it seems like it's a different guy almost series to series. I find that amazing.
Well, and it comes straight from the head coach. When I talked to the guys in the locker room, one of the first things that Terry McLaurin said was, shout out to Jalmy Brown. I know the journey he's been on. Really cool to see him get his due here with a big catch and a big moment. So he's thinking about his teammate. I asked Jalmy about Terry. He's like, it's so cool that one of my mentors is talking about me. And then you ask them, why is that happening? And Sam Cosby's like, I've never been a part of a team that had a really good culture. I'm still getting used to it. It's a culture thing. So they're playing, literally playing for each other and figuratively as well. And there's so many different guys, as you mentioned, Danny, that just are doing different things. You know, it's Alameda Zacchaeus getting a fumble on a great run, by Eckler. It's Luke McCaffrey who made some vital catches for a young, I almost called him a freshman, a young rookie. It's all of it. It's all of it. And, you know, we can be, and we, you know what? I'm allowing myself to be giddy about it right now. Whether it changes or not, I don't think it's going to change. I mean, I think, you know, obviously they're going to have to go through some losses, but I'm going to allow myself to enjoy what they're doing and appreciate what they're doing and say, look, you know what? They're doing this, and it's the head coach and GM as well, obviously. And it's from the top down. It's really that simple.
I'm not going to get unrealistic. I do have them going 16-1, though, but I'm not going to be crazy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to like say anything wild today or be overly reactionary.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you've always been that kind of guy. So that's well done by you.
No, I appreciate that. Defensively, this is something we're going to take calls on in the next 30 minutes or so, and I want to see what listeners think. How much of yesterday was an announcing of their presence, like, hey, we've got this thing solved, we figured it out, we've made major progress, and how much of it was just Deshaun Watson's horrendous, and that is the statistically not only the worst offense in the league, but by way of DVOA check, they're the eighth worst offense since 1979 after five games.
Well, this franchise, I'll go back to the franchise, historically has played to their opponent's makeup. And so that's not taking place with this franchise, this team, this iteration, 2024 version. But no, Deshaun Watson has given up on his squad. I give you all of that. But on defensively, you have to get after somebody like that. And they did. Okay, they did. Frankie Louvu, Wagner, who's always going to be there. I just watched Wagner making the defensive calls, and he was just like barking out stuff because he knew what was coming. That's not because of a bad Browns defense. That's because Bobby Wagner knows what he's doing. And he's that quarterback of that defense. So I wouldn't say it's an announcement. They have played two really strong football games the last 2 weeks. So they're beginning to kind of feel themselves. Joe Witt Jr. can do a few different things. The secondary hasn't been nearly as holy as it was before. And by the way, nobody said anything about number 13. Like, he just had a solid game, just played, didn't do anything. You know, Emmanuel Forbes just kind of quietly did his thing.
Yeah, it's hard to get noticed when the offense scores 34 points and everybody's just humming along, having sideline laughter. Chick, always fun, buddy. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Don't take it easy.
Appreciate it, dude. Hit that sounder for the Local 53 again. Our guy, Tobias Funke Altize, you know him from Tober Time, you know him from updates, you know him from, I think, placing. I think he placed GP in the first annual cannonball contest at spring training for Grant and Dan. I think he was the place horse in that one.
Did you win the silver, if memory serves, Tobes? Was that about right?
I think I won the gold.
Is that true?
I think that's what I remember. Me and Darius were in the final round, and I believe I outdid him.
I thought Darius won, so we've got...
Because remember, Darius had the high of all the rounds, but then didn't perform as well in the finals.
Can you redo the intro, please? He deserves a little more respect.
Let me try
than
that again.
Placer.
And the defending champion of the original Grant and Danny Spring Training Cannibal Contest, Tobias Altizer.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
I feel honored.
I wanted to ask Toby and get him on the air, because he was in the stands yesterday,
mm-hmm.
what the vibes were like in the crowd. We got the windows closed, and I can only hear so much. What was it like at the stadium?
Yeah, I'll say this, Grant. So I was behind the Browns sideline, and I was standing next to some Browns fans, and the guy was, he had a little bit to drink before the game. You could clearly tell that. So, you know,
wait, alcohol?
Yeah, he was enjoying himself just a little bit. Whoa. So, you know, no issue with that, right? But he was kind of a little obnoxious pregame. And then suddenly through about the first quarter and the second quarter, he didn't have much to say about his team anymore. And it was kind of cool because you just had so many Commanders fans there that were just so excited. You talked about the wave. I saw you tweet about that. And, like, everybody was involved. And whether you like it or not, it just showed that there's a passionate fan base. And there were so many people there. And it was like, visible how many, just how much burgundy and gold was there. And I don't know the vibe. The last game I went to that had a similar sort of vibe was a Sunday Night Football game back in 2016 when Kirko threw the ball all over the yard against the Packers. And they won 42-24. But even that, just it just feels different. It really does. And I think it all stems from number five. But everybody was there. And coming out of halftime, there's a guy walking down the aisle in a Jaden Daniels jersey, reaches back to rip the tags off because he just went and bought one.
Fresh purchase.
He's all in on it.
I guess I want to know, every time, I mean, I haven't been in forever, and I'll never go again, but when Darius referenced this earlier, Toby, like, there was this degree of nervousness. Like, when they went three and out, when their first two plays, the second drive, were negative plays before that Terry McLaurin Hail Mary, not Hail Mary, but you know what I mean, that incredible play after a scramble, then the interception. There sometimes is always that, like, puckered, like, oh, no, here's the other shoe. Did you feel that at all? Or like, the folks around you that kind of feel like, uh-oh, they may not be playing great today?
Yeah, I felt it a little bit when Jaden threw the interception. When you get down there into the red zone and you turn it over, you're like, oh, no. You know, it feels like maybe you finally got something, and then he turns the ball over. You're like, he hasn't done that all year. They've been really good at this stuff. And then they just were able to overcome all this stuff. And the crazy part is, like, it's not like they played their best game of football and they dominated. It's not like the defense played really well. So there was a little bit of a nervous energy, but I think it was a – there's a confidence that continues to grow. Like, how often have we as fans of this team the last couple of years felt a confidence in the team to win, especially in a game where it's a prime letdown spot? They came in with a little bit of confidence, I think. A lot of fans did, myself included. And then as the game wore on, you're like, okay, this is going to be a beatdown, and you felt real confident. And then you feel a little bit of confidence even going into next week against a really good Baltimore Ravens team. So I think there was a little bit of that nervous energy, but, you know, once they were able to punch it in once, you felt that kind of go away.
Toby's on after us tonight. Go get ready, get stretched out for your broadcast this evening. Thank you for the time, buddy.
Absolutely, guys.
See, let's keep the Commanders Blitz moving with a conversation on the Commanders. Michael Phillips, the Richmonder, joins us now. Miguel, it's getting real early, isn't it?
How about that? It's just a ton of fun, and the way they're doing it sure feels sustainable. He's not taking a lot of hits. You know, we've corrected a lot of those early mistakes. Feels good.
Does it feel like everybody can believe? Do you know what I mean? Like, they play Baltimore. They could absolutely lose that game, right? Baltimore's going to beat a lot of teams this year.
But they could also win it.
They could also win it. Does it feel now like it used to when I was a kid, where you go, if they drop one, it doesn't matter, we'll be back next week. Or if they lose in the playoffs, doesn't matter, we'll be back next year. Are we at it doesn't matter phase right now because they're that good?
I think it's all about number five, right? It's incredible what he's brought to this franchise, to this city. And, yeah, watching him learn, grow in-game against a really good Cleveland defense, I believe I'm on board. Sign me up. I'm in.
Michael Phillips of the Richmonder on Grant and Danny. It is Ravens week. This is the ultimate test. They were installed initially as 7-point dogs. I haven't seen the update today, but I'm assuming the betting public will be on Washington with that big line. It's taken four straight wins, right? They've got their best start they're off to in 16 years, and they are now the biggest they've been underdogs all season long, I guess because they're really playing the best team they've played and the first really good team that they've played on paper all season long. But what do you make of this matchup as we look ahead?
Well, I'm excited. Three best offenses in the league right now by the advanced metrics: Washington, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. And we saw how fun that Cincinnati game was, right? Score, 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 score. No punting, back and forth. I'm expecting something similar, right? Baltimore is red hot right now offensively. I think they'll be able to score on these guys. I think Jaden Daniels is red hot offensively. So is this running game. B-Rob, Eckler, McNichols, all running at a really high level. I think they're going to be able to score on these guys. I think that's the kind of football game we get fired up for. You think about those games a few years ago, right, with the Chiefs and the Niners and the Rams and kind of all those games where, you know, it's going to be a shootout and you know you're going to watch a lot of fun offensive football. I think that's this game. Might be the most fun game across the whole NFL this weekend.
Michael, we do this a lot of time in college football, but I think it kind of applies here. Is a lot of times you look at data or look at a result a few weeks later with like a different perspective of having more data. I guess what I mean is the fact that Washington's defense was awesome, I thought, against Arizona, shoved it on them. And Arizona moved the ball at will against San Francisco. I'm now kind of going, did Washington's defense just turn a corner? Have they gone from one of the worst in football, historically bad, especially against the past through 3 weeks, to kind of decent, good enough to beat up on a bad opponent? Question mark?
I like kind of decent. I can buy in on kind of decent. That feels like the right phrase to use right now. Yeah, and that's all you need them to be. The way this offense is going, I thought, you know, no way they score that many against a really good Cleveland defense, and it is a really good Cleveland defense. You talk about the retrospect game. Cleveland, by the way, is on an express train to 1-7. This is a football team with big issues if they don't get it fixed quickly. But I think because there have been so many wins here, and you go back and look, you can regrade that Tampa game now too, where you say the offense did a lot of good things, moved the ball. You could see the beginnings of what this became. But, yeah, watching Kyler do the two-minute drill, slice and dice the 49ers, only gave me increased confidence that this is for real. Because you mentioned it, right? Like, biggest start since Jim Zorn, best quarterback since RG3, right? Both of those things were total fool's gold. So I get the people who don't want to jump in. But also, I'm ready to jump in. It does feel different.
Michael Phillips, phone's breaking up a bit. We'll let you roll. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Check him out in the Richmonder. Grant and Danny, that is your Commander's Blitz today on The Fan. Next, you're going to hear from Alamide Zaccheaus. Caught up with him in the locker room. He's an awesome dude. You'll want to hear that conversation. Also, has the defense solved its issues, or did they just benefit from playing Deshaun Watson yesterday in that masterpiece they turned in with 7 sacks, shoving it on the Browns? We'll dive into that on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, a couple things, man. First thing you said, let's make sure identity, all right? And, like, leave no doubt about that, all right? We still left some meat on the bone about it, but that is our identity, yes, all right? Sir. No question about it. Brandon Lupo!
Frankie Louvu, have a day. 2.5 sacks for the Commanders, and then led the team in the breakdown. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Dan Quinn might have given him a game ball, and that's fine. But he got the first game ball on the Grant and Danny game ball segment today as well.
Somebody let him know, because he'll be very pleased to hear that.
Quinn game ball or a G&D game ball? Which one do you want?
G&D game ball.
Me too.
I've never got one of those. You ever got one of those?
I have not. We got that in common, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to whether or not the defense has officially turned a corner, if we're ready to write in pen that they're a decent enough group, I want to play my conversation from the locker room yesterday with Alamide Zaccheaus. I found him right after the game. He had just one catch for 10 yards. It was a huge catch, by the way. He made a catch, made a move, left a defender in his wake, dove forward to set up a fourth and a couple that allowed Washington to go for a fourth down that they would get. They'd go on to get points. They would go on to pull away in the game. But he also had a play, a hustle play, where he came flying from across the field. Didn't have to, just doing the right thing, being a pro. And he was able to recover a fumble on a 50-yard run from behind the play, chasing it down when Austin Eckler coughed up the football. This was Zaccheaus after the game.
Another week, another 34 points. The offense kind of keeps on chugging along. This was kind of supposed to be the biggest test yet because of their defense. How do you feel like you guys did?
I feel like we handled it pretty well. Obviously, we have things that we got to clean up, protecting the ball, staying on the field, on third down and stuff like that. But I feel like overall we did pretty good.
It's crazy because it felt like in the first half, like, even though things in the end were really good, there was a lot you guys left out there with the interception at the goal line or just plays that didn't work out. And then you look up and it's 24 points and on pace for over 500 yards. Just curious, like, what that says about this offense and the chunk yardage opportunity.
At the end of the day, it really just comes down to, like, us being able to execute, stay on the field. And, you know, obviously we left things out there first half, a little bit in the second half too. But, you know, I think it just, you know, we prepare very, very well and very intentional during the week. And, you know, we just got to keep going, keep carrying it over because, you know, that really matters.
This offense feels like it's like someone else's turn each half almost. Like, you had it was the Zacchaeus game last week. This week, you know, Terry had the big numbers in the first half. Is that kind of the way it's designed or just the way it's played out? And how much of being a part of the receiving room right now is like a stay ready thing? Where Diami, we haven't heard from for a couple of weeks, really, and then it's 40 yard touchdown, big plays.
I think it just, you know, everybody's just being ready. You know, everybody in this room can make plays. And, you know, it may be somebody else's turn, quote unquote, you know, one week. And then, but at the end of the day, it just comes down to just playing as hard as we can to get the win, you know, and then just being ready when your number is called. And, you know, I'm happy for two, man. I'm happy, so happy for him that, you know, he just stayed patient and I just stuck with it. But, you know, we don't have a selfish room. Like, we just want to win, want to play hard, and just get the win.
Are you at a point as the story of like, wow, Jaden was impressive today? It's like, are we past that now where it's just like, this is who he is to you? Or because he's a rookie and it's only a month, does it still make sense every week to kind of take inventory and say, wow, that was pretty good?
Yeah, I think you can't take that for granted, especially, you know, him being a young quarterback in the NFL. It's something that we just got to continue to build on. You know, he's been handling it pretty well. And, you know, we all have things that we have to get better at. And, you know, I'm just, you know, we're just continue to help him as he continues to grow.
Last thing, 4-1, four straight wins, Ravens are next. You guys got to be feeling pretty good right now. How do you just kind of focus on the next thing with the city starting to really come to life?
I think it just starts in practice, like I said, you know, just being very intentional and then, you know, going out there and executing the game plan. You know, Cliff's been doing a really good job of just dialing up great plays, and then we've been going out there and executing it. So, you know, like I said, it just starts at practice, and then we'll continue to build that momentum in practice.
You heard Zacchaeus there talking about Kingsbury dialing up plays. I think on both sides of the ball, there's got to be a ton of confidence when the play comes in and what your coordinator is asking you to do, the spot that they're putting you in, because it's working. When it works,
totally.
They say all week, hey, you do this, you're going to get a result, and you're getting those results. You got to believe the process is correct.
That's when it becomes a machine, right? When somebody's asking you, and everybody that's got any kind of athletic experience, at any point, whether it's high school, middle school, elementary school, travel teams, whatever, when a coach is driving you hard, right? Where it's like, you got to do the sprint, you got to do all this kind of stuff. You follow me, man, and we'll get results. And then you don't get results. It's harder to come to work every day, so to speak. I mean, these, you know, you weren't pros then, and these guys are, but that trust factor isn't there. It's, I'll do just enough that I don't get yelled at, right? I get away with it in film room. You've been in jobs like that, right? Where you do, to quote my guy from The Office Space, I do just enough not to get fired, to go all Peter Gibbons. Right, that's what a lot of us do, is we kind of skate through our days, our weeks, our months, and our lives at work if you don't really have the buy-in because you don't trust what's coming in. But when you get that, if you do this, it's going to work and you're going to win, that was always, to me, the Belichick specials. If you do these three things this week, you win the game. Well, and then you do them, and then you win 15 games a year. You go, yeah, there's something going on here, and you buy in.
To the do-your-job point, a lot of the guys they signed are not stars. There was no expectation that they would be. There's no reason to believe that they're going to be really, really good. But they're all doing exactly kind of the upside of what you were hoping they would do. With like Zacchaeus or Cleveland Farrell before he got hurt, or Noah Brown coming in here, right? I mean, nobody's expecting Pro Bowls or massive numbers or huge production. But Jeremy McNichols steps up. Like, everyone's just kind of doing, each time they're called upon, exactly what Adam Peters was hoping that they were going to. And the result is, indirectly, a 4-1 record. To the defense we go. We had Chick Hernandez on the Blitz. We asked him this question. I want to pose it to you guys at 800-636-1067. Their defense was incredible yesterday. They shoved on Cleveland's offense. This was the worst defense in the league at getting sacks. They had 7 of them. This was the worst defense in the league at getting stops on third down. They were 12 for their first 12. How much of yesterday's dominance on that side of the ball was about the Browns, as opposed to the fact that Washington is fixing some of its problems? This is what Chick had to say.
Deshaun Watson has given up on his squad. I give you all of that. But on defensively, you have to get after somebody like that. And they did. Okay? They did. Frankie Louvu, Wagner, who's always going to be there. I just watched Wagner making the defensive calls, and he was just like barking out stuff because he knew what was coming. That's not because of the bad Browns defense. That's because Bobby Wagner knows what he's doing. And he's that quarterback of that defense. So I wouldn't say it's an announcement. They have played 2 really strong football games the last 2 weeks. So they're beginning to kind of feel themselves. Joe Witt Jr. can do a few different things.
What do you think, Danny?
So I think of defense in this way. There are great defenses. They've existed. You know, you can write them off the top of your head. The Seattle defense, Legion of Boom, that won a Super Bowl, that shoved it on Peyton Manning. The Ravens 2000, the 85 Bears, a couple others kind of come to mind. Nobody should be saying that this is what that is. So short of that, if you're above us, you have to be, in my mind, you have to be above a certain threshold. Whatever you want to call that threshold. I don't have a good name for it. To do that to anybody. Yes, Cleveland's offense stinks. They stink. The Raiders didn't do that to them. The Giants didn't do that to them. The Jacksonville Jaguars didn't do that to them, right? I mean, as you look at it, you go, you've got to be good enough to be able to take advantage of a bad team. The way the 2020, were they then the WFT? I can't remember what they were in 2020. Anyway, the point is, that group played bad quarterbacks and dominated.
That was the Washington football
team. They were WFT then. They were good enough to beat up on bad teams. If they were bad, they wouldn't have been, right? You'd see some of those games where some backup scrub quarterback is carving them up, and you're going, what the hell's going on? When they got to play Andy Dalton coming off the bench, he would kill him, and you go, what the hell is happening? I thought this defense was good. You've got to be above a certain threshold. They went from not being above that threshold, in my opinion, through 3 games, to now being above it. These last 2 weeks really showed me something. Most specifically, looking at Arizona in real time, and then now 1 week later, after Arizona's offense looked pretty good against San Francisco.
I think yesterday had more to do with the Browns than the Commanders.
I do too, for that dominant performance.
But they are way better than they were in week 1. This is a different unit than that first game against the Bucs. It's a scheme that was going to take a few weeks with new coaches, new players. I think Witt and Quinn, as we kind of bet on in the offseason, and this coaching staff, really, position group by position group, is good enough that you knew they were going to keep ironing out wrinkles. They were going to keep finding solutions. Luvu's playing at a very high level. Chin's been better the last couple weeks than the first couple of weeks. Wagner is playing his best football of the season. Allen's coming off his 2 best games. Like, that is not all coincidental, right? That a lot of these guys are playing better, and this defense has gotten better. But the difference is, you just played the guy that's the easiest to sack in the NFL this season. And Deshaun Watson, who's seeing ghosts, who's just a broken version of himself. This coming week, you play the Ravens, and a guy that gets sacked 2% of the time, the lowest rate in the NFL, in Lamar Jackson. Even when you have him hemmed in, you can't get him down, just like Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to have 7 sacks this week. If they have more than 2 or 3, I think it'd be a massive victory, and it would be a really, really good sign for this defense. But I think it was more about the Browns than the Commanders, which isn't a slight or meant as one. I do think there's growth. I do think they're playing well. And a lot of the problems from the beginning of the year, they're cleaning up. By only having Emmanuel Forbes on the field for 4 snaps yesterday, Danny, mm-hmm. That's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't have to play him because Noah Igbinoghene is helping them more than was expected in training camp. They had him in the slot. The fact that you've been able to kick Mikey Sanristel out to the boundary, and he is playing a lot better right now than he was playing against the Bengals when he was getting torched by Ja'Marr Chase. You know, those were growing pains that are expected that Dan Quinn and company knew were going to happen, but you let him wear it, and you kind of see what kind of strides he makes. There are very few players on that defense that are not better right now with what they're giving them than against the Bucs and the Bengals or the Giants.
Yeah, a lot of it is figuring out, to your point, the staff going, okay, maybe we don't put this guy, fill in the blank who that is, in this spot. Maybe we try to avoid that. Maybe we cover it in a different way. Maybe we give something else up or accentuate the strengths. Because week 1 Frankie Louvu is not the same as week 5 Frankie Louvu. He's not. This dude gets to line up everywhere and blitz a whole bunch more and was aggressive and awesome, and they found a way to turn him loose while not losing anything in other spots.
10 pass rushes, 5 pressures, and 3 sacks he contributed.
Just absurd.
Credit for 2.5. And, oh, by the way, on one of those rushes, he was at the quarterback and grabbed the football that was in the air on like a fumble that was an interception slash the ball came out of his hand, whatever you want to call it. It was officially a fumble recovery.
It was a Micah Parsons-y-like game. Now, I'm not saying they're the same player, but that, I mean, that's the kind of thing. The guy lines up everywhere and it's impossible to stop.
Totally was.
Right?
Where are you guys on the defense? What kind of confidence do you have in that group? Want to take inventory on that before we talk to Jay Gruden about Jaden Daniels in 20 minutes at the top of the hour. Phone lines open, 800-636-1067. The Browns had sub 70 yards at the half, sub 90 yards when Washington had already scored over 30 points yesterday. How much of that was Deshaun Watson just being an unserious option? Grant and Danny on the Fan. The DMV's football team's got a bright future. It is time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our shows, the law firm Kondori & Murad. They will help you update your last will and testament. They will set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. And they were texting us during the show yesterday, all fired up, huge Commanders fans. They, too, do not know what to do with themselves.
No one knows what to do.
I think we should actually get my buddy Alex Gold on from Kansas City, who I do weekend shows with on the BetQL network. We should just ask him, like, what do we talk about when the team's good? What do you guys do with your hands and your segments?
It's like, I wonder what they're doing now where they're like, they might just only be an AFC championship team this year, you guys. They don't look quite as good.
Well, that's what they did last year, and they won the Super Bowl anyway. So yeah. I think this year, you just go, who cares that they can't move the ball or score? They're just going to keep winning and win the Super Bowl.
So, like, what we could have done for the entirety of our show, and then every show before us could have done is, yep, it's Snyder and Bruce Allen. It's unserious. It's never going to happen. See you guys tomorrow. What they could do is, welcome to the Alex Gold. Who does he the show with? Alex, let's call it the Golden Hour.
It's Cody somebody.
Cody Rhodes and Alex Gold. Welcome to the Golden Hour. And then they start the show. And Alex Gold's like, we got Pat Mahomes. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
I just got a tweet. You're a funny guy.
Oh, well, thank
Your
you.
Your Twitter handle is at Funny Danny.
Uh-huh.
You put the funny in Funny Danny, right?
Yeah, okay.
There's a lady.
Okay.
Looks like a lovely lady, maybe somebody's grandma, named Stephanie, who just tweeted me. So first of all, she's on Twitter.
Okay.
She's sending tweets. I think you're on this tweet as well.
Okay.
At Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. She said, is Frankie Louvu related to Cindy Lou Who? And then in parentheses said Grinch
from
joke.
The Grinch.
It's just a funny tweet to send. I want to repeat. Is Frankie Louvu related to Cindy Lou Who? And then in parentheses, Grinch joke.
I'm going to say yes.
That's all it says.
I'm going to say yes to that.
I give Cindy Lou Who my game ball.
There you go.
She did such a good job convincing the Grinch to come down from the mountain. To take part in the, what was it, the Who Meister celebration?
What? Oh, it's been so long.
Such a great film. It's almost Christmas time. And the Commanders are going to be great.
You know, for the one that Jim Carrey did, The Grinch, he had to undergo, like, psychological assistance. That's not even the right word. But, like CIA torture experts basically had to, like, help him get through the fact that he had to be in makeup for 20 hours.
Is that
right? Just to put the Grinch outfit on.
Some of these actors, dude, the methods that they go through. Obviously, the ultimate story is the late Heath Ledger, whose life changed forever and maybe ended based on him going all in on the Joker, right? By the way, I'm glad I mentioned the Joker. I just saw the Joker 2 in theaters. Let me save you some time. Don't do that.
Oh, such a bummer.
It was not good. You know it's a musical.
What?
Are you familiar with this concept?
What?
They made it a musical.
You mean they ruined it?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But here's where we'll disagree. You could do a musical Joker and it would work, especially because Lady Gaga is co-starring and Joaquin Phoenix, remember, Walk the Line, like has some ability and some pipes and some chops. The musical element doesn't work at all. As if that was a good thing, anyway.
Stunned to hear that.
It just breaks up. Every 15 minutes of movie is just like a song and dance number, and it was a bad, bad effort.
It's a musical.
I am just so bummed.
That they need to... New rule, if I'm in charge, Bill Maher style. Here's what you do. If it's a musical, you have to say that it's a musical. You can never ambush musical somebody.
I think they did, but maybe they didn't, because I went in not knowing it, I will say.
Like, it needs to be right there. Like, Joker 2... This is a musical. Yes. Like, right there, like, in parentheses, like, parental warning.
We were two songs in, and I thought...
Are they going to keep doing this?
Am I about to see a musical? And they kept doing it, I will tell you. Let's go to Will in Stafford on G&D. Will, defensive effort was awesome yesterday. Dominant performance. More about the Browns or the Commanders?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say... I think the defensive line, if you know, being at the game yesterday, man, you could see everything on the field. Playing the gaps a lot better in the middle. I mean, John Allen made a play in the flat on a screen pass.
Where he made the tackle on the second drive.
Yeah, yeah. Phil Darian Mathis was a beast yesterday. The ends are containing real well. I think the D-line's got a leopard. I want to say two things real quick, though. I sent you a picture of you and Danny. Ovi and his brother cut us off on the on-ramp on the 495. It was great seeing Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, did you send that? I did see that.
Yeah.
There's this picture. Ovi drives, I guess it's like a Bentley, and the license plate says like grade 8, and it was just Ovi with his top down, just driving as he's not a celebrity, just like his license plate.
He's like, I have to go to Trader Joe's.
It might as well be his last name. Like, I couldn't believe that.
He was in the passenger seat drinking a road soda. His brother was driving. My buddies and I are yelling out the window. He throws his hand up in the air. It was great. But also, the only mistake made yesterday was the hype squad put the W flag on upside down. So when they went in the end zone after the first touchdown, it looked like the Minnesota Golden Gophers had scored.
Oh, you cut off a little bit. I'll give you one of those. That's fine. Yeah, let's just flip that flag.
You'll have a chance to do other flags, right?
Made enough chances to get it right is the good news. Jay Gruden's going to join us right here at the top of the hour on Grant and Danny. We'll go in detail on his breakdown of Jaden Daniels' fifth performance as an NFL starter. There was maybe more bad in the early going and inaccuracy from him, and then the good was so, so loud and so good. We'll see what Jay thinks next on Grant and Danny.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.